You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, Spirit of God, for your person. Thank you for everything. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. We need to keep in mind as we're going into such awesome truth that God is unfolding for the disciples in the church. And you need to keep in mind as we share together that the wonderful Creator God has created all things, bugs, birds, bees, creeping things. And all of them are marvelous. They all have an instinct that God puts in them so that bumblebees do what they're supposed to do and spiders do what they're supposed to do, fish do what they're supposed to do, birds do what they're supposed to do, butterflies do what they're supposed to do. Everyone does in the animal world. They're all instinctively there, and they have instinct. They're born with it. They just have it. The minute the little spider comes in the world, the little spider has it all. The little turtle that's born on the beach has everything programmed to be able to go in the ocean and a year or two or so later come back in. Everything has its built in. But humans, God made special in his image and likeness. And humans, that's us guys, they're different. They don't have instinct. They aren't equipped like that. God made them for himself. And a human being isn't normal until God is finding his home in their heart. God created humans for himself. And God is the life. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you the eternal life, his uncreated life. He gives you that. That's what you have. That's what it's about. Awesome. Now, having said that, that's very important in what we've been looking at. Otherwise, we just read and think a little bit, and then it all vanishes away. Here are the disciples, and the 11 in this case, among others, have spent 3 1/3 years with him. And he has been announced by God, John the Baptist. This is my beloved son, John the Baptist. This is my beloved son, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So he's been properly announced and introduced. And the disciples follow him, fishers of men, and he takes them. And for 3 1/3 years, they're with him. And they enjoy his marvelous person and presence. They never lacked anything. They were given all kinds of assignments occasionally where they could go out and heal the sick and cast out demons and everything. God gave them all kinds of special opportunity and privilege. But in all of that, they never got past the physical being that they could touch and smell, as it were, and hear and see their senses. But that didn't get past that. So therefore, after three and a third years, here they are on the verge. The Lord is, in just a matter of hours, literally, he's going to be crucified. And they're expecting what? Prison, or / death itself. The whole world that they have known is disappearing. And God, in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, John, is seeking to help them, to be encouraged, to be wonderfully stimulated. That it was a terrible, terrible time, depending on how you look at the cross. And yet it was an awesome time. And God was going to make possible something that could never happen unless he died. And so here's Peter, James, and John, and all of them. And they were to enjoy his marvelous person. But they were unable to go and receive him as who he was. They accepted him. They understood him. But they needed, the Spirit of God had to come and help them to have something that they just didn't have. They didn't have his life. They didn't have a relationship that made it all work. You've got to have a relationship that makes it work. You can have all kinds of information, but if you don't have a working relationship, the battery and the camera, the battery and the radio, the thing has to connect. The lamp has to connect to the power. And without it, it's just a lamp. That's all, just an ordinary lamp among ordinary lamps. And it can't ever enjoy power to be lit up. That's what it was designed for. That's what it was created for. And they needed that relationship to God, but they didn't have it. So therefore, the Jews and the world had rejected him up to this point. He's going to go to the cross and they're going to crucify him, etc. So here's all of the benefits that they just couldn't come to grips with. And they needed to be able to what? They needed to be able to be wonderfully, wonderfully all that he intended them to be. They needed to be able to belong, officially, rightfully belong to God in an awesome way. And then they needed to become all that he had in mind before he ever created them on planet Earth, to have all of those benefits. And therefore, God, you had to deal, and he did. John 14, we shared verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they just couldn't get that. God was standing in front of them in the flesh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in the wonderful humanity of Jesus Christ. They just couldn't grab it. And therefore, he keeps on telling them of the wonderful things that are going to happen and how they're going to happen. And therefore, we shared in John chapter 14, they're going to be able to continue the ministry of our Lord Jesus, to be able to do his wonderful works, his working, not their works and not their working. His works and his working would continue, so that whatsoever you ask in his name, whatsoever you ask, if you ask anything in his name, 13 and 14 verses, he'll do it in his name, in his glory, for his glory and honor. So all of that wonderful truth was there. And then he added, as we share together, in verse 20 in that chapter 14, all of these are awesome truths, and the reality of them is way, way out of reach apart from God. We can read them. We can't come to grips with them. God has to make it happen. And that's what the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God is. Verse 20, In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I mean, that's all internal, internal, wonderful, personal, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Now, having said that, awesome relationship, And that relationship was to be outworked, verse 21, 22, 23. And that was to be outworked. And then as they honored and looked to God and the Spirit of God did his wonderful work, that the Father, God the Father, and God the Son would find their home in the heart. Not God standing in front of them in Christ. But Christ is going to be crucified and seated at the right hand of God in his perfect humanity. And then the Spirit of God is going to make it possible that what he did in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, he will do in them. And he will do and bring. What did he do for Jesus Christ? He brought him God the Son and God the Father. When the believing heart receives the Lord as their Savior, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring the Father and the Son. So when we say, when you know all those wonderful statements in Galatians and Corinthians, and of a truth the world is going to say, oh, God is in the person of Paul. Not Paul got saved. They're going to say, God is in him. God is in the local assembly, 1 Corinthians 14. God is in that place, in those people. God. That's right. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's what it all is about from start unto the finish. All about a unique relationship, an awesome relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and having said the relationship, we share together, chapter 14 and in verse 26, the comfort the Lord was going to leave, but the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, therefore, God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. That's right. God is going to go and make it possible that all of the wonderful person of God in a most awesome way is going to be in them. And they're going to have a relationship to God, very most personal, that they've never had. Never had it. And on the day of Pentecost, that's going to happen. So now, this unique relationship is going to make it possible that all things are going to be theirs. All. And God, you say it every time, no matter where I turn, you turn. He says, all. You mean all. That's correct. All. And that's what I want to lock onto again and again. I want to see it a little bit, because you say it can't be. Ah, but it is. Now, so how does it work? Now, in the light of that, so the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, and while you're in chapter 16, and in verse 13, 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into A-L-L, truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. What did you say in chapter 14, verse 26? The Spirit of God's going to bring everything to their memory and understanding. So all of these words and all of these truths, God, you're going to make them real. That's right, I am. I'm going to make them all work. Are you going to make them work because they've got a great IQ? Are you going to make it work because of their intellect and their memory, wonderful memory? No. No. I'm going to do it myself. I am going to be their memory, and I am going to give them the information. Now, God, what happens to people? They can do whatever they want. When I give it, it's just what it should be. Just what I mean it to be when I give it. And that's how you're going to get the New Testament. That's how you're going to get my word. Because I'm doing it. I got to understand that. Because I'm reading all things. All truth. God, can that really be? Whatsoever. Can all of this be? Yes. But without God, it can't even think about it properly because it's beyond us. But God, when we understand the relationship that you're looking for, that you have made possible, now that's going to be something wonderfully, wonderfully different. Now, and therefore, God, you're going to do all these things in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, over to Ephesians for a moment. And in Ephesians, if I can, and reminding us of the relationship, I need to keep that in mind. Ephesians chapter 1, and you will note, please, I'm going to start in the light verse, chapter 1, verse 22 directly. And God hath put all things under his, Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Which church? Which is his body. Not our church, but his church. His body. One body, one Lord. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, God, here we are looking, and God, you have taken and made the Lord Jesus Christ the head. The relationship we have to Christ is as a body and a head, all one unique person in a very unique way. And God, you're going to make our relationship to Christ as a body, and he's going to be the head. To the Lord, you're going to take the whosoevers that believe and make them out here, all these different whosoevers, and you're going to make them as your body. So, God, that's what you're going to do. You're going to take and take us and make us as your body for the Lord. And for the Lord, you're going to make us all one body for one head. So it's a unique relationship, just like your physical being is. Now, and so in the light of that, and you'll notice, please, in verse 22, how many things are under the feet of our Lord? All of them. What isn't? He's seated at the right hand of God, the highest, the most high. Now, is there anything, anyone, anywhere, in any way, shape, or form that's equal to or above him? No. He's the top. He's it. God. That's right. Now, and God, here you are, and everything is under his feet. And the body represents the body, his feet. Everything is under the feet. You'll pick that up tonight, awesomely. Now, here's under his feet. And so therefore, God, here's the body. Now, what do we know about the body? Jesus Christ, you know, hold your finger here a minute. Hold your finger here. And go over with me to Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 2, coming right back, I just want to tie it mentally together. What do we know? God, we know that Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. And therefore, Colossians 2 and in verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, fully, fully, fully in him. He's the head. Verse 10. And you, believing believers, are complete. Remember, the word complete is the word full, verse 9. And you are complete or full in him. Now, he is full of God, and the body is full of him. It doesn't say 50%. 10%, it's full. Full means full. That's what it means. So how much of his body is missing Jesus Christ? Zero. Therefore, back over to chapter Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. All things under his feet, everything, and head, he's the head, all things to the church. So everything, we enjoy what? A fullness. How can you be a believer? You can. And not understand, not if you're going to look to God, you're going to have to understand why Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because that's what he's going to do. Is what's the Spirit of God's ministry? To bring all of this for real. How much? All of it. All the fullness. All. How can you have part of it? It's all. All. Every part of your body, as we shared last time, you're using your brain. You aren't a brain. You have a brain. You are not your brain. You are not your hand. You're a person inside of your body. So don't mix them up. But using the brain with all of its electrical connections and everything, God, here's our foot and our hands and everything, and the head, the hand enjoys the fullness of everything in your brains. True? What doesn't your hand enjoy that's in your brains? Everything. All. The hand doesn't enjoy part. It enjoys all. How can you be in the body and not have all? So God, are you consistent? Absolutely. All. That's what it keeps on you. It's all. But no. So I got to understand that, because then I need to how to lay hold of that rightly. Now, so here in Ephesians, we shared in chapter 1 and 22 and 23, all the fullness of God in its most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit, over now we need one other thing that will help us, a reminder, over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 5. The Gospel of John and chapter 5. And we are to be reminded. Chapter 5, picking up, please. May I go? I'm going to go, and you know all these things, but I'm just going to do in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He perfectly represents the Father. And the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, is going to enjoy God being God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be able to sit down, if you can imagine, and have a McDonald's burger, going to be down and do whatever, to eat and to drink, to sleep. He's going to have all of it. And the works and the words, he has a unique relationship to God that outworks itself. And it's a complete. God the Father, in all of his fullness, is God. And God the Son, in the Christ Jesus, in all of his fullness, is God. And the perfect humanity of Christ enjoys God, a relationship to God. Chapter 8 of John. And in John chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, rising again, and that I do nothing of myself, nothing. But as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. I have a unique relationship to God, for God to be God. That's what he was created for. The perfect man is showing what God created us for. to have a unique relationship to God, so that God could be God in the human heart, and the human heart could enjoy God being God in a unique and wonderful way. Therefore, without me, you can do nothing. Over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we said it, I'm just looking at it directly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, remember now, picking up if I can in verse 21. And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, in saving them, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So it's nothing and nothing, nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I do nothing of myself. All that I do represents God the Father. And if we read in John 5 and verse 31, the Lord Jesus will say, if I do it myself, I am wrong. I am not created to honor me. I'm created to honor God. Now here in 1 Corinthians, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Therefore, it's nothing about us. No, it isn't. We're flesh, like flower of the field, etc., grass. But God, well then, what's it about? But of him, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, God does it, is made unto us, God made Christ unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And everything, what is missing? Nothing, nothing, it's all. God made himself, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all. God, what kind of relationship am I supposed to have? To all of you, to all of your marvelous being, person, essence, to be able to enjoy, that's right. And if we're going to ever say, now, we have this and we know this and we have all these things and know all these things. No, it isn't about you knowing. It's about you knowing that God's knowing and God's giving it to you. Therefore, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth or boast, let him glory or boast in the Lord. So where's all the credit go? The credit all goes to you, God. Absolutely, to you. Now, keep in mind, it's all about your wonderful, wonderful person and your wonderful person. Therefore, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that happen. Just to review and go over to 1 John chapter 2 to lock it in a little again so you see it. It's the New Testament. It's God's Word. It's what it's about. Wow. It's awesome. And the church ought to be awesome. God's Word ought to be awesome. Wow. 1 John chapter 2. And you'll remember we shared together verse 20. Remember the Spirit of God's ministry, 14 and 26, is to teach all things, bring all things to your remembrance. So that's why when you have the Bible, if you took time to read, we won't. Well, why not? You aren't far away. Hold your finger in 1 John chapter 2 and go all the way over to the end, Revelation 22. So you have that. Revelation chapter 22. And God, what are you going to tell? Well, you said the same thing when you finished Deuteronomy by Moses. And now when you finish the whole Bible, you say it again. Chapter 22, verse 18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away, subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Well, now God said, don't add or subtract. And when I'm all done, God, how are you going to do it? Verse 20, he which testifieth, God himself, these things saith, what are you going to say, Lord? Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You're going to come quickly. That's right. So what am I going to do about the Bible? All the things that can't be, and we read it so casually as if it... No, God, you gave your word. You are the word. And you gave your words for us to see, understand, and enjoy. I gave you my words. I am the word. I gave them to you. Now, God, oh, no, I sit down. Well, you know, this critical thing is that maybe the Griesbach and Lachman and Tissendorf and all of them line up. Wordsworth, and they all line up, you know. Alexandria, all line up. This. No, God, you said it. So when you read your word, God's simple word in front of you, when you read that, you're in the presence of God, who made sure in those 5,000 plus copies that you got a copy. It isn't the original writing. Does God know the original writing? Does God know what he said? So if someone makes a mistake between active and passive voice, or put something there that they didn't catch it, or they thought it, God, you couldn't mean it that way, and they fixed it. No. God, you know, do you know what this says, God, as you read it? Does God know what it says? And who are you trusting? What it said? Or are you trusting God who said it? And if you're trusting God who said it, then all of a sudden, it blossoms. Because you're giving God what credit? You believe. Wow, and it becomes alive. Right. Now, so therefore, back over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But we have an unction from the Holy One. Unction is the word anointing. Christ is the anointed one. Christ / anointed one / Messiah. Messiah, Christ, the anointed one. He's the King of Kings, anointed King, Spirit of God. What is he? He is the Messiah, the King, the priest of all priests, the prophet. He's the Word become flesh. He's all of it. Christ is the anointed one, the Spirit of God. What are you doing? I'm taking the whosoever's, John 14:26, I'm taking them and help them understand that the Father and Son are going to find their home in their heart, and they're going to have a unique relationship to God, the anointed one. And now what are we going to call them? The anointed ones. That's different than Christian. Antioch, you know, first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11, etc. Those Christians, one thing. That's one thing. To be in a Christ one. Ah, that's awesome. To be his for all his fullness in his body. Christ ones. In the light of what? What's the whole context? We shared it together quickly. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time. There's Christ ones and Antichrist ones. The Antichrist ones are over here, but you are the Christ ones. You belong to me. You belong to me. And greater am I in you than he that is in the world. So be of good cheer. And thus, verse 27. For the anointing, there's your little word, unction, anointing, Christ the anointed one. But the anointing which you received of him, that Spirit of God, that's what you did. Absolutely. Abideth, remember we shared that together, I think we did maybe. Years ago, I haven't heard it for 100 years. But years ago, it used to be when you had a meeting and they'd pray. We'd have little groups of praying for the service. That used to pray for the service, for the Spirit of God to go and do His work. And they'd pray. The Spirit of God would anoint the man. Anoint him. The anointed for preaching. For God, the Spirit of God, to take it and boom, out it came. That's what they used to pray. Now, you won't find that in a book on pneumatology or something, because they don't, you know. But the anointing's legit. I mean, we're reading it. The Spirit of God anointed us. Anointed Christ. He anoints us. Verse 27. But the anointing which you've received of Him, from Him, abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Why not? Because the Spirit of God said, I'll teach you whatever, however, as much as you need. Verse 27, not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing, setting apart, consecrating, inaugurating, teacheth you. What does it teach you, the anointing? All things from where? The Spirit of God. Who knows all things? The Spirit of God does. Where's the anointing? He is the anointing. When He comes, you have what? All things. Because the Spirit of God's ministry is to completely represent the work of God the Son in the light of God the Father for the glory of God, and that's His ministry. Everything. There's nothing missing. Nothing. In all of His fullness. You didn't do a thing. You just sat there. And God did it. God's done it. What don't you have if you're saved? You have everything. No. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Oh, God, I need. No, you got everything. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make all that He has made possible in Christ yours. And you have to exercise it. That's what you have to do. And by the way, back over to chapter 2, verse 20, we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 20, and the word know, the knower is knowing. In the perfect tense, they already know. How can you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God's awesome ministry, and not God, you know. And God, how do you evidence the Spirit of God? How are you going to help us, God? Are you going to bring us 5,000 things we have to memorize and understand? No. I'm going to just help you know the relationship. The relationship, if you understand the relationship, then you'll know whatsoever you ask in My name, I'll do it. If you understand the relationship, you'll know you have everything. What is that? I'm going to help you. Remember Romans chapter 8, Galatians 4. Abba, what's the Spirit of God's ministry? To the human heart. Instantly. Present tense, Galatians and Romans. Present tense. And He continues to say lovingly, Abba, Father. Why? Because what did the Lord Jesus say? The works that I do, the words that I say, are to show forth the Father. What do I need to know to even have the highest starting point of why all of these things are true? Because He's my Father. And that's why they're all true. And my Father knows it all. My Father has it all. And all you ask of what? What kind of life would you have? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 2. And because I just said that, you're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and You're going to look for the moment at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Not far away, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, coming to the end of a conclusion of 8, 9, and 10 subject. So now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and locking it in, verse 31, whether there, 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, as his body. You belong to him. If I could, using it, my father was alive, he isn't. I'm the son of Aaron. So wherever the son of Aaron is, he represents Aaron. You're a son of God, a child of God, and wherever you are, you represent whom? The Father. The Father. That's what you do. So whether you're eating, Lord, eating, sleeping on the ship, whatever you're doing, whatever you do, I'm honoring God the Father from start to finish. My whole business, my whole life is to represent the wonderful person of God in all of his fullness. And what are you doing for us to bring all of that fullness by way of the Spirit of God because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring all of that fullness into the human heart? So that you have what? All things. You lack nothing. Say, what? No, you don't. You don't. And I'm going to help you. Well, I got to move quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And you will notice the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. You have all things, repeated all kinds of ways, all things. Now, therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not taking it all in context, we can't do that, but a little bit to get the flavor of it. God, what are you going to do? We have everything in you. Absolutely. Then how are we going to, first we need to know we have it. Verse 10. But God hath revealed, 1 Corinthians 2:10. God hath revealed them unto us, the marvelous things that God has put into the heart, for the heart, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth what? All things. All things. Yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to keep you in a relationship that you're in the classroom and you're growing and growing and exercising and you just keep growing up and learning. And that's what it is, eating and drinking and growing up. Wow, that's right. And all things. Is there anything, Spirit of God, that's missing? Zero. What are you missing? Nothing. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So how can we know all things? You can't. And you don't. So don't scrap the verse. Don't scrap the truth. God knows them. And it's God knowing them that you're looking to and trusting. Therefore, you know them. If you're his body and related to him, how can you? They're not your. They're your possessions. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. No, the Spirit of God's our teacher, teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why we're looking at the Bible. That's why we read verse after verse. Going back, I'm trying to help get it together. It's all one book, one God. And he's helping us. So I want to understand. I don't want to understand what you think about it. I want to understand what it says. How can I understand what it says if I don't keep reading what he's saying? And I'm telling you, if you were trying to read commentaries and stuff, you'd go a long way, unfortunately, to enjoy any of these simple ones. You have everything. You know all things. No, that doesn't really mean it like that. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's what it means. Wow. How so? Because God knows. Your Father knows. And your Father knows if it's all right. The Father knows. He said, I'll help you to know. So therefore, I'm going to help you to grow. So therefore, as I know and grow, what am I going to do? I'm going to read the Bible, read the words of the Bible, and God's going to help me with the truths that are all written out, and God's going to help us to grow and know and learn. And we have access. We don't have, like having a dictionary or that kind of thing. You're looking up a word in the big dictionary or something, good dictionary. You're looking up a word. But in your hand, you have all the words, don't you? Aren't you holding all the words when you hold the dictionary? You're only looking up one word, but you have all the words in your hand, don't you? All of them. That's right. Wow. God, that's an awesome thing. That's right. Boy, this can't be right, but it is. It is. Wonderfully, wonderfully right. And therefore, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's right. You can't go on your flesh. You can't go by your, well, this is my opinion, my thought. You can't go by your brains. You go by what God said. That's all. Then you have to catch up to it. Therefore, the natural man considers it foolishness. Neither can he know them, they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. How are you going to judge a spiritual man? You can't, in the flesh. I don't, whatever. You can only do that in the flesh. That's all you can do, make a judgment. That's right, in the flesh. That's all you got, you know. And we are human, terribly, terribly human, you know. Wouldn't it be nice if we just could be eloquent and clear and simple and direct? But we aren't, at least some of us. Not you guys, of course. Wow. We just aren't. Well, now, in closing. When I say closing now, I'm trying to watch myself. When I say closing, closing means closing. So I'm going to look at, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians to tie this together. I'm trying to be careful now. Doesn't mean anything, but I'm trying to be. I am, you know. You know, someone says, the end, and then I say, well, not the end, this is the end. And the, like an end run in football, you know, what can I tell you? 2 Corinthians. Watch it, we'll just do it so you see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you will notice, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to go directly to verse 6. For God, when you get saved and know the Lord as your Savior, for God who commanded the light, Christ the light of the world, to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, we received him as our Savior, to what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where is all of this? In the wonderful person of Jesus Christ our Lord, he is the head and we're the body, and in the process, we have a wonderful sense of the knowledge of God's wonderful, wonderful person. Then, therefore, we need to grow. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, you know, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, we're changed. We're growing. Aren't you growing? Learning. Why can we learn? Because God makes it so you can keep learning. You keep enlarging your heart. And when's it end? It doesn't end. It doesn't end. Just keep growing. And God's going to do that. That's right. God, you're going to do it. And we're growing up, having what? All things to start with. We start using a silly illustration, using Bill Gates or one of those guys, and they got a couple of dollars. Bill Gates has at least a lot of money. Now, and Bill Gates gives you a checking account, unlimited, okay? Now, so therefore you're going to go with a checking account, unlimited, and you're going to go. And you go down to whatever, you know, like people do. I'm going to get an ice cream, and then you have a debit card or something to get it. You know, it used to be coins and money, and we do that. So we go and do that, and we do it. Do you know what? Could you go in any store and buy something? Is your credit card good? Couldn't you go and buy McDonald's? Yeah, it's good. God has given you Himself, and you use it. And God wants you to grow and grow. And as we look to God, and He helps us to grow and know, and we develop in a wonderful way, and God outworks it in an awesome way. And we're changed. That's right. And we learn how to spend. We learn how to eat and drink to the glory of God. Whatever we do, in work and home, at school, we learn to put God in the right place, in the right attitude, for the right action. Now, in closing, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And in chapter 2, and in verse, going directly to verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, to be victorious, to prevail in Christ, and maketh manifest, clear, plain, easy to see and understand, maketh manifest the savor, the fragrance, the smell of His knowledge by us in every place. So we're Christ ones, not anti-Christ ones. We're Christ ones. And wherever we go, we're Christ ones. At the drinking fountain, in the bank, the grocery store, we're Christ ones. Wherever you go, you belong to Christ. And enjoying His wonderful person and presence in all of His fullness, and you work out all of it inch by inch as you grow and learn to trust Him more and more. Well, that's what happens. God, that's what it's about. It is. That's what it's about. That's what being a believer is. That's New Testament truth. That's what I expected. That's what I expect from you. I'm not looking to get you to heaven like Wally Karen. I'm looking for you to enjoy life here right now. I can get you to heaven. That's not my issue. I'm looking to you to take advantage of why I still leave you here. Christ wants. So that people in the Antichrist will see Christ wants and have a comparison. That's what I'm looking for. Otherwise, I'd take you home. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank You for Your grace and kindness, and God, take care of us. Help us, Spirit of God. Boy, do we depend upon You. And God, only You, the reality of all of it, is Yours. For real, for right, forever. So God, we're looking to You. Thank You that it is all yes and amen. So we're resting and relying, thankfully, upon Your person and work, Your personal presence, to be able to belong to You in such a unique, personal way. God, You got to help us overcome everything out and around us is against it. but you're for it. So help us to exercise it and enter into the benefits that the disciples in the upper room could never know, but were able to know because of them. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.